We're a couple of weeks into a series on the ways of God. We noted that when Moses, a faithful servant of the Lord, saw and experienced over the course of many years just many mighty acts of the Lord. He was the instrument often for those mighty acts, but that when he saw those mighty acts of the Lord, it caused him to make the requests of the Lord, "Lord, teach me your ways." And then we noted that Christianity, as it was encountered by Jews and by Gentiles going forth from Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth, that it earned the label "the way." That's what it was called. It was called the way not because the goals that Christianity talked about or the concerns that Christian people had or the endeavors that were undertaken, that they were either foreign or unique, somehow different. They weren't. But believers went about such things in a new way, in a way that had never even existed before. And so Christianity learned the label before it was called Christianity of the way, because those who were followers of Christ just lived in a way that was not possible, had not existed before. I very much hope that one of the outcomes of us spending time considering the ways of God is that your own desire to know the ways of God gets stirred, gets increased. If you told me you're going someplace, I would say, "Great, I hope you get there safely." But if I was supposed to follow you there, say I'm going someplace and I want you to follow me, my first question to you might be, "Well, which way are you going?" Because if I have to follow you, I have to know your way. So one of the things, if you desire to be a person who follows the Lord, we need to know his ways. Here's a verse out of Psalm 103. "The Lord made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel." This verse puts together what actually several verses in the Bible put together, something about the Lord's works, his acts, and the Lord's ways. The relationship between works in ways is very much worth considering. Whether it's your own works in your own ways, or the works of others in the ways of others, or supremely about the Lord's works in the Lord's ways. Usually you want the work to somehow move you along the way, right? But it can get kind of complex, that relationship between works and way. Have you ever been in a situation where another wants your work so that he can get his way? That can happen in marriage. "Honey, I want you to work so I can get my way. I want you to do some acts so that I get my way." That can happen in a friendship where you want somebody else's works to help you get your way. It can happen in ministry, where you want the saints to do some acts, some works, but it's to get your own way. You've ever wanted God to work? You ever wanted God to act so that you can get your way? Don't raise your hand. Notice in this verse that the people saw the things that the Lord did. They saw the acts of the Lord. He made known his acts to the sons of Israel. And though the people saw the Lord's acts, remember that they were unfaithful. They fell away from following the Lord. Moses learned the Lord's ways. And Moses remained faithful to the Lord. The book of Hebrews tells he was faithful in all of his house. Here's Psalm 95. Notice what it says about the people of Israel. "Today, if you hear his voice," that's the voice of the Lord, "do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, 'There are people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways.'" Referring to those 40 years in the wilderness when a whole generation perished and did not go into the promised land. Here too, in these verses, there's talk of both the Lord's work and of his ways, of the Lord's ways. The people saw his work, but they did not know the Lord's ways. And when you don't know the Lord's ways, it's hard to follow him. It's easy to wander off. That's exactly what they did. You can see the Lord's work. You can see the Lord act, yet still be a person who tries to get his or her own way. You can even want the Lord's deeds, the Lord's works, to help you get your own way. You can want the Lord to work in others so that you can get your way. I think often talk about spiritual authority and submission and how that works. Often, what's happening when that topic comes up is the leaders want the Lord to work in the people to teach them to submit so they can get their way. That's often what's happening in that situation. I want the Lord to work in you to teach you submission to authority so that I can get done what I want to get done or have happen what I want to have happen. So we can want the Lord's work in others, but the way. What you're after is not the Lord's ways, something of your own way. I've cooked up a little illustration. Pretend that you've been told that you are to learn Roger's ways so that you can follow me. That you have zero interest in actually doing so is not important. That's okay. This is a pretend, okay? Pretend that you've been told to learn my way so that you can follow me. Also suppose that if you were to live your own way, the way that you would like to live, the way that you would like to go, is you would like to have a life that's secure. You would like to have a life that's safe. You would have to like to have a life that's comfortable. You would like to have a life that's very efficient. So you would like your path, if you had your own way, to be a path that was secure and safe and comfortable and efficient. But you're supposed to learn my ways so that you can follow me. So you stop over at my house. We decide that we're going to run an errand together and grab lunch together on the way. And I'm going to drive. So I get the car out of the garage. We get in. You notice that I pause and watch as the garage door comes down until it's fully closed. And you think, wow, Roger's concerned for security. He wanted to make sure that door was fully closed. He wants the house closed up. One of his ways is he wants a secure way. On the way, stop at a fast food place to get some lunch. And rather than wait in the drive-through line, I park the car and I run in and I get some food for us to go. You think, Roger doesn't like to wait in lines. I just saw what he did. He doesn't like to wait in lines. He likes things to be efficient. So he barked and ran in. We get to the store. I park in the middle of the parking lot in a shaded area. You think, Roger's one of those people who does not like to get in a hot car, but the sun's been shining on it. So when he comes out, he doesn't want the car off. He likes to be comfortable. Oh, so he sought out this shady place because he likes to be comfortable. Comfort's important to him. We do our stuff at the store. We go back home. We park in the garage. And as we walk into the house, you know, I watch the garage door come down, close all the way. And you think, wow, Roger's conscious about safety. Wanted to make sure that door didn't hurt anybody as it closed up. So you've seen some of my actions. You know, you've seen me watch the door. You've seen me run into the fast food place. You've seen me, you know, park out there in the middle of the parking lot in a shaded area. You've seen some of my actions. You've seen some of my deeds. But you have not learned my ways. The conclusions that you are drawing about my ways, none of them are right. You also tend to let seeing my deeds simply confirm you in living and walking your way. that you're a person who likes security and efficiency and comfort and safety. So when you saw me act, you figure I was also likewise taken away that's secure and efficient and comfortable and safe. And none of those are right as explanations for those deeds that I did. But you tend to find confirmation, perhaps, for your own way, even in watching my deeds. And of course, I might do the same with you. I see you do some deeds, I see you do some acts, but though I've seen your deeds, I've not learned your ways. And I might even read your deeds as support for me going my own way. Here's the point, of course. It's possible for us to do something like that with the Lord himself. We see his actions, we see his works, we see the things that he does, but we don't learn his ways. In fact, we might even tend to interpret his actions to be something that supports us in getting our own way. When we are people who don't know the Lord's ways, I think we often do what the psalmist says Israel did. We harden our hearts. If you're a person who frequently needs to be persuaded to keep your heart soft, if you're a person who has to frequently be encouraged, keep your ears open to what the Lord might be saying, it could be that you don't know the Lord's ways. And in not knowing his ways, you're always hardening yourself. You're always closing your ears, and somebody's constantly got to be encouraging you. Don't harden your heart. Don't be so hard. Stay soft. That when we don't know the Lord's ways, we test him. You ever a passenger in a car when you think the driver is going the wrong way? What do? You test the driver, right? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know where you're going? Should you be driving? If you're not sure that the driver's going the right way, you test him or you test her. If you don't know the Lord's ways, you end up testing him. Testing the Lord is when you take verbs that should go after the word God and put them before the word God. So rather than saying God can, you say can God. Rather than saying God will, you say, will God? Rather than saying God does care, you test him by saying, does God care? So you put the verb in front of it and you test him. He's got to prove himself that he really can, that he really will, that he really does care, that he really does love, that he does know what he's doing. I had a great teacher once. And every now and then he would be doing something and we didn't understand what he was doing, and so we would all test him, as students can do. And he would always say, IQWID, IKWID. What's IQWID? I know what I'm doing. So we would test him and he would come back with, I know what I'm doing. But we can be that way with the Lord. We test him. Do you know what you're doing in my life, in my friend's life, in my kids' lives, in my loved one's life, in my family's life? Do you know what you're doing? And if the Lord has to come back all the same and say, IQWID to you, I know what I'm doing. We don't know his ways. And it says here too that the people erred in their hearts. They make fundamental errors when you don't know his ways. You strain at gnats and swallow camels. Tithe garden herbs and neglect righteousness and mercy. You just make fundamental errors. Like if that pretended example, if you were trying to learn my ways and you concluded that I like the way of security and safety and efficiency and comfort, and then you were going to try to follow me and you did some things, you would make fundamental mistakes. Because that's not my way. That's not the way that I was taken. And if you thought so, you'd blow it. What to me would seem like in the simplest ways, the most obvious ways. So that if we don't know the Lord's ways, you make fundamental errors. You err in your heart. The truth makes you cranky rather than makes you free. You ever met people like that? The truth always seems to, you know, Jesus said it'll make you free. The truth always seems to make you cranky. Why such an error? Why such a fundamental error? Not knowing his ways. If you, I, any of us, want to follow the Lord, you can't just see his works. You can't just see his acts. You must learn his ways. So I hope that stirs your desire, because I do want to follow. If you're going to follow, you have to know his ways. You can't just see some actions that he's done. So in the next few weeks, we'll consider multiple things about the Lord's ways, some specifics. Just a couple of things for today. One of the most common questions when talking of ways is this the right way? If you're talking about ways, probably most common question, is this the right way? Is this the right way to do this? Is this the right way to go? Is this the right way to act? Is this the right way to, right perspective to have? Is this the right way? Something that I think is good to get settled deep inside of you. If I could reach in there and choose a few things, just to something to get really settled in you. This I know for sure. This one's locked in. One of the things that I would choose is that the Lord's ways are right. I encourage you, if you can just get that settled in you, that all of his ways are right, that they're true. I think something that hinders many from following the Lord is they're not sure that his ways are right. I think this is the thing that's actually affirmed most often in the scriptures about the Lord's ways, that the Lord's ways are right. Here's just a few examples. Out of Deuteronomy 32, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Out of Psalm 145, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. Out of Daniel 4, this is the conclusion after Nebuchadnezzar has time to reflect for 7 years eating grass as a cow. This is the whole conclusion, by the way, that Nebuchadnezzar comes to when he's restored. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And then out of Revelation 15, one of the songs in Revelation, great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. You'll see those are also verses that, again, connect up the Lord's works in his ways. But all of them give affirmation that the Lord's ways are just, that they're true, that they are right. An important issue in life is what things do you take as givens? Something that's not proven because it's used to prove everything else. So it's not proven, it's simply asserted to be so. What things are givens? If you've ever been in a philosophy course, they call the a priori's, or things that you just take. Things that in mathematics that are taken as self-evident truths, you can't prove them, but we'll use these truths to prove everything else. What things in life do you take as givens? One given for many people, I think, is this. I am qualified to judge. People take that as a given, that I'm qualified to judge. When people tell me that I'm a good Bible teacher or a bad Bible teacher, I've been told both. One of the things that I often think inside is, what qualifies you to judge? Whether I'm good or bad. Again, I'm not interested in the judgment for a second, but what qualifies you, but that assumption that I would know a good Bible teacher when I saw one and a bad Bible teacher when I saw one, I can classify you, and I'm happy to pass on the information I have about you. That's interesting that you take as a given, I would know one. If I say to Carl, Carl, you're a good cello player, he would perhaps be very much He probably wouldn't be too nice to do this, of course. But he'd be right to say back to me, how would you know? You know, I might say to him, Carl, I enjoy your cello playing. You can't dispute that. But he might say, you know, you wouldn't know a good cello player from a bad cello player. So how do you know if I'm good or not? How do you think you're qualified to judge? So one of the things that many take for granted as a given is that I'm qualified to make judgments. Many feel that they're qualified to make judgments about the Lord and about his ways. And the Lord constantly has to prove to them that he's doing it the right way. You know, they're the judge. Well, they test the Lord has to prove. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing it the right way. Here's a plea from me. Take as a given. Not that you are qualified to judge. Don't take that as a given. Take this as a given, that the Lord's ways are right. That the Lord's ways are true. The Lord's ways are just. I actually believe that in that there's something of a paradox. To learn his ways, you need to begin with the conviction that the Lord's ways are right, that they're true. And it's only by beginning with such a conviction that the Lord's ways are right and true will you see that they are right and true. Look at this verse out of Hosea. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. When you know that the ways of the Lord are right, when you know that they're true, then you find an ability to walk in them. When you don't know that they're right, then you're doubtful, and the Lord somehow has to prove that his ways are right, you stumble in them. You get tripped up by them. So my plea is simply, take as one of the givens the Lord's ways, the ones you know about, the ones you don't know about. All of his ways are true. They're right. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. I don't know all of the Lord's way with you. And sometimes I struggle greatly to understand the Lord's ways with you. You know, Steve just shared, Ryan, a couple months away from his wedding, his mom dies of a heart attack. What do you do with that? Do I understand the Lord's way in that? And I would very quickly say, I don't understand that. It's hard. So I don't know all of the Lord's way with you. I couldn't explain it all to you. But this I do know. The Lord's way with you is right. The Lord's way with you is true. Whether I understand it, whether you understand it, whether any of us in this room understand it, the Lord's way with you is true and right. He knows what he's doing. That I know for sure. So that thing, affirm more often than anything else in the scripture, take it as just one of the building blocks. You know, one of the givens in your life, the Lord's ways are right. And then I just wanted to share one other thing. This passage from the Sermon on the Mount. You'll recognize it. Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. This passage speaks of two ways and two gates. One gate and one way leads to destruction. The other gate and the other way leads to life. And each sequence speaks first of the gate and then of the way. Of the wide gate and the broad way, or of the narrow gate and the narrow way. So I think it's probably right to see the gate as a specific entry point. And then to see the way that comes after the gate as just that path of daily living. that the gate opens you to, whether that it's the way to life or destruction, it's just that path that takes you there. One of the gates, one of the ways, is spoken of as wide and broad. It's a way that's easy to find. It's a way that's easy to follow. On this way, there's lots of tolerance. Many things are accepted. And it's well traveled. Many can be found on this path. The other gate, in the other way, is spoken of as narrow and small. Actually, a better translation, the Old King James, it's a straight way. Not straight as in no curves, but straight as in straight jacket, or the Straits of Magellan. Just a squeezed, pressed place, just a narrow passage. So this way is spoken of as narrow and straight. It's a way that's hard to find. It's demanding in its requirements. It's an exact fit. It's not a one-size-fits-all, but it's very exacting in how it fits. The first way probably generates words like, no problem, of course, no big deal. The first way probably generates whatever, right? The second way probably generates words like exactly, right on, one and only, precisely. Will generate, those two ways generate different kinds of word. Interestingly, words about the first way often have positive connotations for us. To be wide open to something is usually good, right? To be broad-minded is seen as desirable. Words associated with the second way often have negative connotations. It's not good to be narrow-minded, is it? Who wants to be placed in a straitjacket? The word means squeezed. Usually when you get squeezed out, right? Then I thought of the doctor saying, I'll squeeze you in, so... you don't always get squeezed out. You get squeezed, you're always being pushed out, right? So, you know, to be narrow and to be straight, those words can have negative connotations with them, us. But the Lord's way is not the wide and the broad one. The Lord's way is the narrow one, the straight one, the squeezed one. I think we need to know that. There may be 50 ways to leave your lover. There's lots of ways to be unfaithful. That's a song, right? Okay, the older people are nodding their heads. So, you know, you drop off the keys, or you make a new plan, or, you know, like, help me out here. There's all kinds of ways, if you want to be unfaithful, how to do it. No problem. Yeah, we can accept that. You can get out this way. But if you want to be faithful, there's one narrow way. And how to do that. As you learn God's ways, as we learn God's ways, there will be times when your response, I think, will be, wow, that's really narrow. That's pretty straight. That's okay, because the good way is narrow. But I want to qualify it a little bit. Narrow does not mean fettered. Legalistic does not mean unfree or ugly. I think the narrow way is the way of the eagle soaring on high, and you watch one of those soaring birds soaring on high. I mean, it's beautiful, it's free, it's glorious. But if you were to ask the eagle to explain the way that he does that, he would say to us, you have to do it exactly the right way. That's why not very many can do, because it's very narrow. And it's done with precision. So what takes place, it's not like he's just in a cage. I mean, it looks like he's just effortlessly flying on high, going wherever he wants. So it looks like that. That's not what, narrow doesn't mean not that. Narrow means in order to do that, you gotta do it precisely the right way. You gotta know how to fly. An eagle knows how to fly. So if you want to follow the Lord, you must learn his ways. Don't desire a life where you just occasionally see the Lord drop in and do an action, a deed. A very powerful deed, perhaps, a very significant action, and he does do those things. But don't be a person who wants to see the Lord's works, but all you're interested in is your own way. In fact, you would hope the Lord works so that you can get your way. You have to learn his ways. Know that the Lord's ways are right. If you don't know that they are right, you'll grumble, you'll complain, you'll harden your heart, you'll ask questions from the back seat, you'll close your ears, you'll test the Lord, and you'll make fundamental errors. You'll miss the main things. And be okay with the fact that the Lord's way is narrow and that it's straight. Well, you will wonder at times, can anyone actually find such a narrow way or actually stay on such a straight course? And there we need to hear the words, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But the Lord doesn't get us down his way by making the way broad or wide. He makes us people capable of walking that narrow way. Precisely, exactly, just exactly like Jesus kind of thing. So be okay with the fact that the Lord's way is narrow and straight. So we'll note other things about the Lord's ways, but I hope it stirs your desires to be a person. Don't just reveal to me your acts. Teach me your ways. Reveal those to me so that we can follow where he's going.